Well, good morning, and so glad you're here. Thank you for joining us this morning. I want to say a special welcome to all of you. Welcome to any of our guests that we have this morning in person or online. Thank you so much for being here. We'd love to connect with you. We can do that in one of two ways. There's a card in the pew back in front of you if you'd like to fill that information out, and at the end of service, you can leave that in the offering plate or leave it there in the pew beside you, or you can go to our website, sbcr.org. And there's a button that says, I'm new. You can click that button and fill that information out. And it's a way, again, to know who's worshiping with us and connect and be able to serve you and your family. I want to make you aware of a few opportunities, a few things coming up in the life and ministry of our church. First of all, tonight at 5:30 is our quarterly business meeting. Tonight at 5:30. And so I want to really encourage you, if you're a member of Second Baptist Church, want to encourage you to do all that you can to make it back tonight. We do have several items on the agenda, so please come out tonight, 5:30, for our business meeting. There is a Young at Heart activity happening this Tuesday, and so Steve and Sharon Overton aren't able to be here this morning. Their granddaughter's getting recognized at London this morning, getting ready to graduate, and so they are at that senior recognition, but reach out to them. You can call the office, and we'll help connect you if you need to, but that is this Tuesday, so there's some information in the notes there about that. Ms. Donna's also here, and you can visit with her, and I'm sure she has all the information as well that can fill you in on that, and so please visit with them regarding that if you're interested in going on that trip. And then just take note, there's a lot of different activities that are coming up mission trip opportunities, both to Memphis and to South Arkansas with the Arkansas River Valley Baptist Association. There is camp, Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School will be here very soon. There's still opportunities to volunteer and just invite kids to come and be a part of that. And so if you have any questions regarding Vacation Bible School, please see Michelle or Daydrian. And then take note of the different announcements, different things happening in the bulletin that are all mentioned there. There's a lot of good information. I want to make sure you have a chance to see and take note of that. Well, now I want to transition and just have a chance to recognize another one of our graduates. And so I'm going to invite Ethan Whitlock up here and to come and stand with me just for a moment. Some of you may or may not be aware, but our church has been blessed for the last several years for the opportunity for this Mabry Henderson, Memorial Scholarship. And so their families have left funds in a designated fund to award worthy and those candidates that fit, or a candidate each year that fits the criteria that they have set aside. And so out of our graduates this year, Ethan was the one that fit the criteria and got all the required things that needed to be done for that. And so he is this year's recipient of the Mabry Henderson Memorial Scholarship. And this the plaque reads this. It says, in memory of Brandon Mabry and Josh Henderson, presented to Ethan Whitlock, for remaining faithful to God and your church family, and for upholding the standards set forth in 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one look down on you because you are young, but set an example for believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Always remember that your efforts in the Lord are not in vain. And this comes with, let's show our appreciation. So I'm going to present this to you, Ethan. I'm proud of you. It comes with a $1,000 scholarship, and so, amen. You're right. So, man, really excited for him and for Ethan. Ethan, we're really proud of you. Amen. Really thank God for you. He graduated as salutatorian of his class, and absolutely, amen. Got to watch his speech, and one thing I'm really proud of Ethan about is he has really tried to point people to the Lord and use what passions he has to do that. And I just can't encourage you enough to keep your eyes on the Lord, keep following and seeking after Him. Really proud of you. And make much of Jesus in all that you'll do. And God will use you far beyond you ever imagined. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Yeah. He really likes being in front in the spotlight and all of that. So he had to give a speech twice yesterday, so I wouldn't put him on the spot to do it this morning. But really grateful for those families investing in the future of our students. And it's been a blessing to several students through the years and is really difficult, obviously, for just the reasons and the tragedy that took place, but grateful that they've chosen to, honor those young men and continue to invest in our students, and really grateful for that. So be praying for those families as they continue to invest in our students, and pray for all of our graduates. We're proud of each and every one of them, grateful. I was telling somebody this morning, it seems like every youth student I know is graduating this year. It's happened quickly. So as we're just get ready for the service, just something as I was driving to the church this morning, I don't know where you're at, what's going on in your life and all that sort of thing, but obviously we typically at this point we have a sort of focused time of prayer, and the altar is always open for you to come and pray, and that's always an open invitation, but just really wanted to take a moment and hit pause this morning before we jump into worship. And the scripture says, be still and know that He is God. And it might just be this morning, for whatever reason, you just need to be still before the Lord. It may be that you want to come and just spend time in prayer before the Lord at the altar, kneel. You may want to come and stand, sit. You may want to, whatever it is, I just felt really impressed on my heart for us to take just maybe an extra minute longer this morning and ask the Lord to minister to us. We're going to talk some about ministering to others and all that sort of thing. But sometimes there are just seasons of life where we need the Spirit of God to minister to us. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask Brother Robert if he'd just begin to play softly. If you'll bow your head and close your eyes. And it may be that you just want to quietly slip out and come and kneel before the front, before the altar here, and spend time in prayer. You just need a moment. Let's just take a minute or two here. We're not going to rush this. We're not going to spend a long time. But just felt really impressed. We need an intentional time of prayer. So if you want to come and pray, I invite you now to come and do that. And we're just going to have a few minutes just quiet and still here before the Lord. Lord, there is none like You. None on earth, none in heaven as like You. You and You alone are holy. And God, if we're honest today, God, if I'm honest today, I need you more today than I ever have. I can't take a breath on my own, a step on my own, apart from your grace. Lord, we need you. We need your work. Holy Spirit, we need you, Comforter. God, I pray that we would worship you in spirit and in truth. But God, I ask today that you, Holy Spirit, would minister to us. Lord, I pray that we would not leave here today in the same condition as we came in. God, we need you. God, we need you. I pray your Spirit would be upon us. Jesus, you be glorified in all that is said and done here today. And I pray, God, that you would do great things among your people for your glory. God, the psalmist said, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but into your name be the glory. May we sing for your glory. May we hum for your glory. God, may we study for your glory, read for your glory. Lord, may we sit in your presence for your glory. Lord, I pray that you would do far above all that we've asked here, even in this moment. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's stand and sing together.
Great things. We want to introduce a newer song to you this morning. Kind of keep with this theme of the great things that God has done, not only for the world. You know, so many times we look at how good and how great God is and all that He's done in the world around us, but He's done great things in our very lives. Amen. And we want to continue to raise our voices in praise to Him because of what He's done.
Sing for the freedom he has won. Even death is dead and done. His life has overcome. Speak, say the name above all names, over every broken place. He is risen from the grave. What he's done, what he's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. I praise God for what he's done. Now, on a throne of Father's will complete. He reigns in victory. Sing hallelujah to the King. He is worthy to receive all the worship we can bring. What he's done, what he's done. All the glory and the honor.
My mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh Lord our God. And on the third, at break of dawn, Son of heaven rose again. Oh, trample death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints. My gaze shall fix on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord our God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord our God. Oh, Lord.
If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Gospel of John, chapter 4. We are still journeying through. There's so much rich truth out of the Gospel of John, particularly chapter 4, that... Man, I think it's just important for us to sit down in the text and try to learn and grow and glean from the Word of God. And certainly I have not at all done it justice, but I really want us to spend some time in digging into the Word of God and John chapter 4. I want to preach to you a message that I've titled, Life-Changing Testimony. Life-Changing Testimony. And I want to look at this text from John chapter 4, beginning in verse 39. So if you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? And the perfect, infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all things that I ever did.' So when the Samaritans had come to Him, they urged Him to stay with them, and He stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of His own word. Then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard Him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore You. We thank You for Your grace and mercy. I pray, God in heaven, that You would continue to speak to us through Your Word. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. Fill me with Your Spirit. I pray, God, the lost would be saved, and I pray the backslider would be restored back to You, and I pray the saint would be encouraged. Lord Jesus, we love You and praise You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, I want to preach to you this message, life-changing testimony. The main idea of the text is this: a simple testimony can have an eternal impact. A simple testimony can have an eternal impact. We're going to see just a little snippet. In a lot of ways, reading through John chapter 4, it might be easy to skip past some of this because of so much of the other interaction that's already taken place, but I think we're going to see here this morning before we leave that a simple testimony of your salvation. When I talk about testimony or witness today, I'm talking about your story of your conversion, how you came to faith in Christ. And so a simple testimony, a simple witness can have an eternal impact. And so the question then this morning is, can you share your testimony with someone today? Are you ready? Are you prepared? Number one, do you have a testimony to share? Have you had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus as part of that? Having that question of, do you have a testimony today, have I had a personal witness with Christ? Have I had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus? But then secondly, have I been willing, am I ready, am I prepared to share that story with anybody and anywhere at any time? And so the question is, can you share your testimony with somebody today? Number one, a simple testimony bears repeating. A simple testimony bears repeating. Let's look at the text here this morning, verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." You remember the text that Jesus comes to Samaria, he goes to Jacob's well, he is weary, he sits at the well, and this woman comes. And he asked her to draw some water that he may have a drink. She reacts because she understands it's the middle of the day. Here is a Jew, although doesn't understand it's Jesus. It's this man talking to me. She's an outcast of the outcast. We later learn that she had been married and divorced many times, likely living with a man that is not her husband at the encounter with Jesus. Jesus says, hey, if you would ask of me, I'll give you water that you'll never thirst again. And after this dialogue, some back and forth, and this interaction, she seemingly places her faith in the Messiah, places her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And what does she do? The Bible says she leaves her water pot and goes into the city and to find the men, or at least the people of the city. And she shares her testimony. Now, what do we have of that she shares? Simply here in verse 39, all we have is, "He told me all that I ever did." That's all the record that we have, that she shares her testimony story, that she has found the Christ and he's told me everything that I've ever done. This is important because, if you remember, she is an outcast of the society, of the community. She's in the middle of the day by herself, not common. She has all this questionable history, if you will. But the Lord Jesus meets her right where she's at and changes her life forever. The people of the city knew this woman. The people of the area knew this woman, knew about her. And so for her to come back into the people that, quote, know her best, if you will, and for her to share this, it took a certain level of boldness. It took some significant change to have taken place in her life. And so here she goes. She goes into the city and she shares a simple, brief testimony of her experience with Jesus. And I think there's some things we need to learn from her sharing this testimony. First of all, whenever you share your testimony, it doesn't need to be some mega elaborate sort of thing. Sometimes I understand that we hear testimonies of people like my friend and mentor, Brother Ronnie Tullis, who had a radical conversion experience. He was a drug addict and he was an alcoholic and all those sorts of things. And God uses his story and his testimony. And you hear radical conversions like that. And what I'm afraid of sometimes is that we wouldn't say this out loud, but sometimes in our heart of hearts we think, well, I was saved as a 7-year-old girl or an 8-year-old boy at Vacation Bible School. And obviously I wasn't a drug addict or alcoholic, and my story's not all that significant. What does it matter much? And dear friend, that can't be further from the truth. Because let me remind you, or maybe teach you something this morning, is that it took just as much of the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus on the hill of Calvary to save the 5-year-old little girl in a Sunday school class as it does the raging alcoholic. Everybody okay this morning? Let me help you, okay? It took every ounce of the blood of Jesus to save your sweet cotton picking mind, right? Your pea picking heart, right? I know you are precious and precious. of all the little kids. But it took just as much the blood of Jesus to save you as it did the radical prostitute, the drug addict, the wino, the 85-year-old Buddhist. You mean you just fill in the blank. Every single one of us lost without Christ took the miracle of Jesus on the cross. And that's why I need you to hear this morning that your simple testimony matters. It's significant. It's important. And here she is. Yes, she has a radical conversion and she's got one of those stories. But dear friend, she simply goes into the city to share her story. And friends, one of the things that the enemy does is he convinces us that our story isn't all that elaborate. Hollywood wouldn't be interested in writing the script, so why in the world share? But dear friend, your story is a story of redemption. And it matters. And let me just say this. Notice, I mean, that the community, the culture had written her off. And it may be that you've got a checkered past. It may be that you've got some skeletons in the closet, if you will. The community and the culture had said she's a nobody of the nobody. She's not worthy of our presence, our time, or any of that. She had gone through some things. And I need you to see this morning that divorce in her past, adultery in her past, these things that the culture hated were not the unpardonable sin, and she wasn't so far gone that God couldn't save her, but God redeemed her and used it for His glory and His namesake. Dear friend, I don't know what's in your past, but don't let the enemy lie to you and say, man, you're too far gone. There's too much there. You're damaged goods. Listen, look at me. Look right here in my eyeballs. You're not damaged goods in the hand of the Maker. He can redeem. He can restore. He reconciles. He uses it for His kingdom and His glory. Man, a simple gospel witness bears repeating. She goes in and says, hey, I've found the Messiah. I've found the Christ. And He's told me all things that I ever did. She just shares her story. And she shares it with those that know her best. Those that know her best, that knew her, knew the things she had done, probably knew the ex-husbands, knew the checkered past. She doesn't shy away from it. She shared her story. Hey, while we're here, let me give you a couple things to help you share your story, okay? All right, so jot these down. These will help you, okay? So I want to encourage you to do this. You should be able to share your story of conversion. Whatever that experience was whenever you got saved, you need to be able to share it within about 2 minutes. That way, standing in the grocery line, I know we don't do that much anymore, but maybe sitting in the doctor's office in the waiting room or whatever it is, you can share your story. So I'm going to give you a couple tips to help you do that, okay? So, all right, first of all, your story ought to include what was your life like before you got saved, okay? Now, some of you were 7 years old at Vacation Bible School. There's not a lot to share there, all right? Maybe you were a bad big sister. I don't know what it was, but the point is, and even if you maybe you've got a story, and mine's certainly not like a lot of others, but I was 18 years old and all those sorts of things. Let me encourage you in this, okay? Maybe you do have a checkered past and some things. You lived some life before you got saved, okay? You with me? Let me encourage you in this, okay? Listen real clearly. When you share about what your life was like before you got saved, don't you glorify sin. Okay? The last thing I want to do when I share my story and the things I struggle with, I don't want to talk about all the things that I did, and then there's somebody out there that's listening to me, and they start licking their lips thinking about all that I'm talking about. And they start, man, that'd be good. I'd like that. That's not what my story's for, okay? So you share your life, what your life was like before you got saved. Maybe you just struggled with with self-doubt. Maybe you struggle with not telling the truth. Whatever it is, again, it's not to glorify sin, okay? What was your life like before you got saved, okay? Number two, what happened when you got saved? Were you sitting in a meeting, an old tent meeting, revival meeting, and the preacher preached and you got saved? You walked by and gave your heart and life to Jesus? Were you sitting in a Sunday school somewhere and a teacher held you afterward and just talked to you about what it meant to be a Christian? Were you in your bedroom and your daddy came in and talked to you about what it meant to be a Christian and gave your heart and life to Jesus? What happened when you got saved? Now, in parentheses, write this beside it. Share the gospel. Because if you got saved, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Okay? The only way you got saved is if you heard or knew, man, this moment of Jesus came, He lived a sinless, perfect life. He died on the cross for me and for you. He was buried, and 3 days later, He raised from the dead. And if you believe on that and turn from your sin, you too can be saved. That's the gospel, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe verse 3 and 4. Those are a couple verses that sums up the gospel. So whenever I share my story, I'm going to share, man, hearing somebody preach, and I share what they preached or what that Sunday school teacher taught me or what dad shared with me, share the gospel right there. And you can do it just in a couple sentences, okay? So what happened when you got saved? All right? Not so much of the tingly arms on your left arm, okay? But what did you believe in? What did you turn from? Okay? Number three, what happened after you got saved? Well, this is good. But when I got saved, is anybody here? When I got saved, man, there was a peace that washed from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. I couldn't explain it to you. I got chill bumps right now thinking about it, because when I stood up October 10th, 2004, I couldn't give you any theology about it, but I knew I was not the same person I was whenever I knelt down. There was a peace that surpasses all understanding. Hey, you know what else? There's a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Boy, I got a joy deep down in my soul. I had a friend of mine, you say it like this, boy, I got a double dose of Jesus and I hadn't got over it yet. I like that. I don't want to get over it. Number one, what was my life like before I got saved? Number two, what happened when I got saved? Share the gospel. Number three, what's my life like since I got saved? Everything's not been perfect. Notice, I didn't tell you that everything got better. I told you I had a peace and I had a joy. I had a peace that surpasses all understanding. In the most difficult of days and difficult seasons of my life, I knew that the Lord was walking with me. In the most difficult, terrible seasons of my life, and when the world wrecked, there was still a joy deep down in me that I couldn't explain. My life's never been the same since. Seeing God answer prayer, so on and so forth, okay? So share your testimony. Number one, what happened before? What happened when you got saved? Share the gospel. And number three, what's your life like been after you got saved? Now, I know it's hard for you to believe, but you can do that in about 2 minutes. You may have to write it down and cut things out, refine it a little bit. Some of you write it down, you're going to have to add some things because it's going to be about 25 seconds, and that's fine. You know, I use John 10:10, and I use other verses as to help tell my story. 1 Peter 3:15, be ready always to get a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. I use a verse to share that, and so that'll help you to share your testimony. Why? Because listen, a simple testimony bears repeating. Do you know why social media is so significant right now? Because people, and I know, man, I immediately you looked up, some of you picked your head up, and I could see all the thoughts going past you, okay? All right? Let me tell you one of the reasons it's so significant right now is because what social media is trying to do, and it's not always an accurate picture, I understand that, I'm not making that argument. Social media is trying to tell a story. trying to tell a story. Now, I realize people are putting out what part of the story they want you to see, right? That's the danger of it. But why is it growing so much? Because people connect with stories. And people will connect with your story when you're bold enough to share. Let me tell you what God has done in my life, and you share your testimony of salvation. It's been true. We connect to stories. That's what happens here. She goes back and she says, let me tell you, I found the Christ. He told me all things that I've ever done. And they respond to it because a simple testimony is worth repeating. Mark 5, 19 through 19 and 20. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, he cast out this demon of this man. Says, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. He went and shared his story. Acts 4:20, the disciples were forbidden to share any more about Jesus, and this was their response, for we cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard. Boy, don't we need to be that kind of people? That we wake up every day, and we just boldly share. We share a story, share what God's done in our life. Not in a braggadocious way, not in a way of going, hey, look at me, pay attention to me. But rather to say, man, let me share with you what God has done and has done in my life and He can do in yours. Said we cannot help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Number one, a simple testimony bears repeating. Number two, a simple testimony bears fruit. It bears fruit. Listen to verse 40 through 42. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So I want you to notice some things here, okay? If you were to back up in verse 39, many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him. Why? Because of the word of the woman who testified. She immediately bears fruit for salvation. That's what Christians do. That's what believers do. Is that whenever we share what Jesus has done in our life, we're bold enough to proclaim the gospel and what Jesus has done, that then there's bearing this fruit that she just goes, and there's nothing elaborate here. But she just shares, and it says that many believed. And then if you go on down to verse 40, so when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to say to them, stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Her story immediately bore fruit. But then not only that, they go and they go spend time with him, and then it winds up bearing more fruit. And man, I think it's important for us to understand that every time you share your testimony, every time you, man, you take a bold step and share the gospel, yes, man, God's going to be gracious at times, and you're going to see people respond, but sometimes people won't, but you never know what fruit that might bear later on down the road. Isn't it fascinating? Have you thought about this? Why didn't Jesus just go into the city? Why does he go to the well and meet the woman? Don't you think Jesus knew where all the men of the city were gathered at? If she found them, I think Jesus could have found them. Why does he go outside the city at a sketchy time at middle of the day when you're only going to meet outcasts and sit there and meet the woman with this tattered history? And she's the one that goes into the city and tells the people. I know some of you are waiting for me to give you this some big elaborate answer, but I really don't know. I only know this, is that some reason, for some cause, and for some purpose, only that heaven will reveal, God in His sovereignty chooses to use humans to accomplish His will and His purpose. He wants to use us is a part of accomplishing the plan. Think about it. Because if that's not the reason, if that's not the purpose, if your story does not matter and he doesn't want to use it, then why in the world that at the moment of salvation would he not just immediately call us home and not leave us here? But rather, he leaves us here so that we may share our story, we may point others to him because he wants to use us. Man, Second Baptist, God wants to use us. Jesus goes to the well, meets this woman, and she's the one that runs back into the city. And next thing you know, it's a teaching moment for Jesus, teaching his disciples, saying, look, white are the fields for harvest. And next thing you know, for the next 2 days, he has this crowd, and they are soaking up every word. Some of them believed the minute they heard the testimony of the woman. Some of them said, man, I'm not quite ready, but I want to hear more. And they go and sit at the feet of Jesus and they hear him teach. And when they hear him teach, the Bible says many more believe. Did you catch that in verse 41? And many more believe because of his own word. And then 42, then they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him. And we know that this is indeed the Christ. Jesus uses this story, this testimony of this woman, to bring many of the Samaritans to himself. Dear friend, I would venture to say, I'm not sure if there was anybody else in the city that could have had the impact the way that this woman had the impact that she did. Maybe there was. We don't know. We don't know a lot. Hey, by the way, isn't it fascinating we don't know this woman's name? We don't really know much about her except for the things that you probably wouldn't want listed on your resume. But she bears fruit when she goes into the city. Then there is delayed fruit. And oh, by the way, here we are, May 19th of 2024. And her story is still bearing fruit. Hey, listen to me. How many of you in 25, 50, and 100 years would like to be so used for the cause of Christ that your story is still producing fruit for the kingdom? Yeah. And listen. Yes, I hope the Lord Jesus returns, and I don't know how much longer there is left. But until he does, my hope and prayer is that the day that somebody buries me in the ground is not the day that my story stops having impact. That it continues to have impact long beyond those years. And somehow, some way, we've bought into this idea that we're damaged goods. God can't use us. My story isn't all that significant. God can't use it. Nobody really wants to hear what God has done in my life. Nobody will believe. They know the things I've done. Yet here we have this unnamed Samaritan woman that God uses in the immediate, and he has used for centuries and will continue to use. So don't tell me this morning that God can't use you. And oh, by the way, best I can tell, all right, everybody still has breath in their lungs. Hey, and listen to me. God's not done with you. I don't care how young or old you are. God is not through with you. He is not through with your story. God wants to use you. Now, I want you to notice this last phrase in verse 42. Notice what happens. We'll read all of 42. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ," notice this, "the Savior of the world." Hey, let's hit pause for just a moment. Let me remind you of a couple things. Jews and Samaritans hated each other. I'm not going to replay all the history, but the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. Jews viewed the Samaritans as half-breeds, and the Samaritans didn't have a whole lot more respect for the Jews. Oftentimes, yes, people passed through. The Jews would potentially pass through the region, but there was such hatred that they would cross the Jordan and go a long way around to get around the Samaritan area. Yet, here's what's really interesting. Jesus in John chapter 2 is in Jerusalem. John chapter 3, we catch up with him, he's in Judea. And in John chapter 4, he has to pass through Samaria. He, being a single Jewish man sitting at the well, would have absolutely in no way ever, being a traditional Jewish man, would have ever considered speaking to a woman in the middle of the day, especially with her history. And that's exactly what Jesus does. Not only does he speak with her, he gives her living water, which she'll never thirst again. And she goes into the city to testify about a Messiah, the Christ, who is a Jew. And the Samaritans come out and listen to the declaration. They do not declare, "This is the Christ, the Savior of the Jews and the Samaritans. This is the Christ, the Savior of our people. This is the Christ, the Savior of all that is righteous and good." But they say, "This is the Christ, the Savior of the world." Let me remind you of Acts chapter 1:8. "But when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem," John chapter 2, "Judea," John chapter 3, "and Samaria," John chapter 4, "and to the ends of the earth." John 4:42, "the Savior of the world." If you don't think the nations are on the heart of God, you've missed it. And God wants to use your story to make an impact on those around you, those that are close to home. She ran into the city and testified to those first. But then after they come and they sit with him for 2 days, they seemingly have a better theology about the mission of even what the disciples do immediately after. If you remember the crucifixion of Jesus, that Jesus had commissioned them going to all the world. The reason why some of the persecution came the way that it did and God allowed that is because it had to happen in the book of Acts so that they would disperse and go and fulfill the mission. The Samaritans here, after a couple days with Jesus, realized something sooner and faster than what even some of his disciples did, is that Jesus is not just the Messiah of the Jewish people, or not just the Messiah of the church, not just the Messiah of all that is right and good, but Jesus is the Savior of the world. And there is not a man, woman, boy, and girl that's ever been on the face of the planet that Jesus did not come to die for. And dear friend, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the conviction of the Word of God, and through the telling of your story and my story, may we get to be a part of seeing fruit coming from the power of the gospel of what Jesus has done. John 17, verse 20, Jesus prayed this, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." He's praying for us that are going to believe, that have believed through the testimony of others, those that have gone before. Matthew 5:16, he says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So friend, your story matters. If you've never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, today is a day of salvation. Won't you give your heart and life to Him? If Jesus can use an unnamed Samaritan woman with a sordid history and a sordid past in this culture, in this context, there's no doubt in my mind that He can use you and I for His glory and His name's sake, and that He wants to. That He wants to. So here's my challenge to you. Write out your testimony of salvation. And here's my challenge, okay? I'm going to challenge you to either through video or through written text, and I know not everybody has social media, so I'll give you a second part to this challenge, but share your story of salvation on social media this week. Just a quick 2-minute video. You can blame it on me. My pastor challenged me to do this or whatever it is. That's fine, all right? But share your story of salvation. If you don't have social media, you don't want any part of that, that's fine. My challenge is to you at the doctor's office, at the grocery store, at the gas pump, whatever it is, find somebody and say, "Hey, can I just share with you a quick story of what God's done in my life?" And I know it takes a lot of boldness. Takes a lot of forwardness. Maybe you need to call a family member. Maybe you need to call somebody, a childhood friend. Say, "Hey, it's been a long time. Let me just share with you what God's done in my life." Here's the deal. Faith that don't work won't work. We need to put the Word of God into practice. I see some of you already tensed up on me. Like, we were all good, preacher. We were fine. Then you started wanting me to do something. Now I'm here. It's all right. Here's what I'm fully convinced of. If you'll pray and ask the Spirit of God to give you boldness and give you strength, God will answer that. God will do that. And you never know what impact it may have on somebody else. So if you will, let's bow our head and close our eyes, and it may be you need to surrender your heart and life to Jesus. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. Here in a few minutes, I'm going to pray. And if you need to give your heart and life to Jesus, I'm going to invite you down. Come say, "Pastor Chris, I need to be saved today. I'd love to visit with you." I'm convinced there's many of us in this room that we've surrendered our heart and life to Jesus, but for somewhere along the way, we've bought into the lie that our story is not that significant and God's not all that interested in using us. I'm going to be as bold to say that we need to ask God to forgive us of that mindset and that mentality, because Jesus did everything it took for you to be saved. And God saw fit that He wanted to use you. Precious Jesus, I pray in these next few moments, if there is anybody lost that doesn't know You, God, I pray You'd save them. And I pray, God, for those that have bought into the lie that our story doesn't matter that much, and not really sure if You can or want to continue to use us. Lord, pray You forgive us of that. God, I pray we would walk away from this time encouraged and challenged. Lord Jesus, You be glorified. In Jesus' name, Your main attitude of prayer. If God spoke to your heart about salvation, You come. Man, maybe God dealt with your heart this morning about your story. Maybe you just haven't been as bold. Maybe you've shied away from it. Maybe you somehow have bought into the lie that God's not really wanting to use you. I want to invite you, man, if God's dealt with your heart, and you're not even sure you can accept the challenge to share your story, I'm going to invite you now, man, just come get on this altar and beg God to give you power and give you strength. Beg God for Him to use you. Let's take the next couple moments and just respond to Him. And so if you want to come and pray, you come now and ask God to do in your life what only He can do.
Cross before me, the world behind
turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I am decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Well, amen. Well, thank you so much for being here today. I'm going to ask our men if you begin to take place so we can help take up the offering today. Just thank you so much for your faithfulness to give. Did want to mention to you, a week from this Tuesday, I am hosting another, we'll be hosting here another pastor's lunch. And so if you want to help contribute and invest in pastors, love for you to be a part of that if you felt led to do so. We'll provide lunch, and then as always, we try to give just some gifts, a token of appreciation, and show our thankfulness for them and pray for them. And so, again, they're just, as I've said before, they're just men. They like man things, okay? So if you want to do a gift card or you want to do some kind of gift or something to give away, we'll give those things away at the end or during that time. And so if you just want to give financially, that's fine too. Just make sure and make that note as you give. And then that's a week from Tuesday, okay? So let's stand together, and we will pray as we dismiss. Thank you so much for being here. Don't forget, 5:30 tonight be our quarterly business meeting. So I invite you to come back for it, okay? Jesus, you're good, and we love and adore you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the faithfulness of, God, those that give. And God, I just thank you for their faith in you and their trust in you. Lord Jesus, I pray that you bless each person here this morning beyond measure. God, give us boldness to follow you. God, give us boldness to share our story this week. And we just love you and we praise you. We thank you for all things. Bring us back safely for tonight and help us to have wisdom to discern your will for your church. We love you and praise you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Your feet.